And we're live. Hey, everybody. You're listening to Catch a Flava on Regent Radio. I'm Vincent, and today we have something special planned. We have five students here in the studio from the University of Toronto here to speak on student life. So let's just go around and introduce ourselves. We have with us first...
Hi, I'm Yin. I'm a third-year student from the University of Toronto. I study criminology, ethics, society, and law, and philosophy.
Hi, I'm Kay Wing. I am a fourth-year student at the University of Toronto as well, and I study criminology and socio-legal studies and philosophy.
Hi, I'm Jay. I'm a second-year student majoring in psychology and economics.
Hi, I'm Jade. I'm a second-year student, and I study ethics, society, and law, criminology and socio-legal studies, and I minor in equity studies.
Cool. I'm Vincent. As I mentioned before, I am a master's student. I'm a criminologist. So for today, I think it may be important to first describe what we're doing here at Regent Park, here in Regent Park, at Regent Park's Focus.
Sure. Well, we're a group of volunteers. We're volunteering with Alternative Reading Week, and we came into Regent Park, Regent Park Focus Youth Media Arts Center, to put together some media for y'all to enjoy as a community.
Cool. Okay, so what's on the itinerary today? What do you guys want to talk about first? I have an idea. So why don't we talk about university admissions? So I guess there's this idea that you need an 80 to get into university. Someone want to debunk that myth?
I think that there's a lot of mythology around what it's like, what the admissions process is like for university. And I don't think it's true that you need an 80. I think program requirements vary from school to school and program to program within a school. And I think as a general rule, they're looking at more than just your grades. They're looking at who you are as a student and what you're involved in. Mm-hmm. And so you should never let not being within a certain threshold hold you back from applying. Does anyone have thoughts on the application process? Are there some things that you wish you could have known when you were applying?
I applied as an international student, so I'd never been to the University of Toronto campus before. So that especially, especially the college system really confused me personally, and I ended up picking colleges at random. Luckily, I did manage to get into one that I would have picked for myself had I had the full set of information, but I think a lot of people do, there's a lot of confusion around the college system.
That's a great point that maybe we should touch on, the college system. I don't think people listening may understand it too well at U of T. Does anyone want to explain that?
Well, for me, I understood it as just U of T divides different programs into, I believe, like 12 different colleges.
Right.
And when I applied, I just kind of looked into what my program was associated with. So right now I'm in Woodsworth College. So anyone else? I know you guys are in different colleges.
Yeah, I'm in
in
Woodsworth too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in Victoria College, and one thing I noticed in first year was that a lot of people thought that if they hadn't applied or if they hadn't gotten into the college that was associated with their program, they thought that meant that they could not participate in that program. Just wanted to clarify that that's absolutely not true. The college systems, I think, particularly have value in the sense that they each offer different resources to different students. But beyond that, it doesn't restrict what you're able to study here.
And in addition, I think people live in residence. You live with your own people, and you participate in the orientations and college events in your college. And for the register office, each college has its own register office. If you have any questions about your life and your academics, you go to your own office, and they are willing to help you.
Yeah, in that way, the college system is a really great way that the University of Toronto breaks down what can be a really large number of students into more smaller communities. And so for those smaller communities of colleges, when we're picking them, some of the things Jane was talking about are pretty important. Like if you're a student entering into the Faculty of Arts and Science, then on your application, they ask you to rank colleges. And things that can factor into that decision are residences. The colleges have different locations on campus. And typically, if you're living in residence, you live at your college. So you can look and see where most of your classes would be for your intended program and pick based on that. You can pick based on social life. You can pick, like Kay Wing was saying, based on where your program is housed out of. But as Yin mentioned, it's very, very important to note that being a part of a college doesn't mean that you have to attend a program that's run out of the college, like criminology, which Kay Wing, Yin, and I all study, is run out of Woodsworth. But Yin and I are Victoria College students, and that doesn't have any impact.
Yeah. So I think the general consensus is that the college system is a good thing, and it allows you to, you know, to be in contact with people at your college, and you can sort of form your own clique of friends. It's not to say that you can't become friends with people from other colleges, but it's an excellent way to get to know people within your specific college. And there are numerous events that I'm in Woodsworth, and there are numerous events that WICSA, the student association there, does for a lot of the students. And these events are perfect because, you know, during a hard weeks of work, you can kind of unwind on, let's say, a Friday or whatever, have pancakes on a Wednesday or Tuesday, whatever it is, with your friends. Yeah. But again, back to this idea that you need an aide to get into university. I know Jade spoke on it a little bit, but is that necessarily true for prospective high school students?
Well, for me, when I was applying from high school, I don't remember my mark because it's been a really long time. But I do believe I had something, like I had classes that came out to an A. But I also know people that got into, like, that were accepted into to the University of Toronto, but didn't have an A. Like, they had, I believe, really high 70s. But, like, I don't think necessarily you need an 80.
I think particularly because U of T has such a large undergraduate body, they're quite forgiving with the marks from high school. And especially because you apply to your subject post, which, in other words, your major, minor, or specialist program, you apply to that at the end of the first year with your first year marks. So they really give you a chance to, like, show how you can excel in the university environment, and they don't really base it off your high school grades at all at that point. So, like, U of T does give chances to people who might not necessarily have done spectacularly in high school.
Yeah. And I guess going to the application process, back when you're in high school applying to the University of Toronto and various other universities in Ontario and, I guess, in Canada, what were your specific fears and concerns about, you know, the applications, of course, but university life in general?
Again, I came as an international student from Hong Kong, so I was particularly nervous because I didn't know anyone in Toronto. And there was also this rumor that, well, the stereotype, I guess, that U of T was a very cold and isolated community, that students were felt lonely there and found it difficult to make friends. So that was a really primary concern of mine coming into first year. But then again, like, the college system, as I mentioned, was really helpful in that because orientation week was held by the colleges, and so because it was a smaller group of students, we had more opportunities to meet people and find familiar faces and stuff like that.
And also, if you're still confusing what you're going to do in your programs, you can always change it after you try your first year courses and change your programs. It's okay if you don't know what you want to do in the future.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really big part of it. I came into U of T and I applied in first year into a general social sciences program, and I really, really thought that I was going to study political science and international relations. And as Jane mentioned, at the end of first year, all throughout your undergraduate degree, you have the opportunity to change programs, and I did. And I think that was a fear for me in applying. I thought, am I locking myself down? And that's one of the reasons why I chose U of T, is because there is room for you to switch around and try things out at a university level, maybe something you think you're interested in, but you really don't know until you've given it a shot. And yeah, that shouldn't be a fear, that fear that you're locking yourself into a certain career path, because that's not the way that U of T works and the way that university more broadly works. There's always room to change.
Well, I just wanted to speak to this as, like, a fourth year student, but being a fourth year student and completing 4 years of university, let me just tell you, you really don't know where it's going to go. Like, being a fourth year student, it doesn't mean that you come out of university knowing what career you want to do. And at this point, I'm going with the flow. I'm going to find what my passion is, and that's where I'm headed for, not my original plan of being the high-class lawyer that I had when I was, 13?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely. I think that even people who do think that they know what they do, like, what they want to do, I went into university with a very clear plan of what I was going to do, and I'm finding that was almost to my detriment now, because in first year I was very much set, like, I'm going to take these specific courses and only these courses that would count towards the major that I wanted to be in. And now that I'm in that major, now that I'm taking more courses, I sort of am thinking that perhaps if I had had more of an open mind in first year, explored, like, because U of T has a breadth requirement system So just really taking that chance in first year to take courses that are outside of what you might think is your comfort zone or what you might think that you're good at might actually show new paths and options to you.
Yeah. University in general, people think about it in terms of it being sort of a professional prep. But in a lot of ways, it's a growing process, and you sort of go to university for 4 years in an undergraduate program, and you kind of determine or develop who you are. You kind of learn certain things about yourself. So like K-Wing, I initially thought from first to second year that I was going to go to law school and be a lawyer. But as I did more of my classes and I pursued criminology a bit further, I found that I had a love for it and just a natural flow towards going to an MA program and onto a PhD and being a professor.
I think for me, like, it was something like that too. When I got into university, I thought I had a really strong passion for law, but more and more that I'm learning about myself, I'm starting to realize that the things I really want to do is working for, you know, not-for-profit like organizations. And I don't think I really wanted to work for a law firm. I wanted to do meaningful work. And I think I only got that experience and I got to learn that through going to my classes and realizing that, you know, criminal law isn't for me.
Yeah. So I guess we could say that for prospective university students out there, for students in high school, it's important to have goals in mind and, you know, ideas about what you want to do with your life in terms of a career. But it's also important to have an open mind when you go to university, right? There's a lot of things that you can pursue, not just academically. There's tons of things in social life and athletics that you can do at the university.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. I think we've kind of covered this portion of the discussion. So it may be important now to discuss things that we wish we knew back in high school. Kind of a looking back. They always say that eyesight is 20 or hindsight is 20/20. So this would be the opportunity.
Oh, this is an interesting topic.
Yeah, hindsight is definitely 20/20. For myself, we were kind of talking a little bit earlier before we went on air, and I, in my grade 12 year, I took biology, I took chemistry, I took physics, and I took calculus, which is the sort of after you do functions and advanced functions, because I was in the Ontario school system. And while I learned a lot in those courses, and I think that they were valuable to me, I am a social science student, and those were tough courses that I was not great at, and they did not help my GPA. And in applying to university in Ontario, the OUAC system means they take your top 6 grade 12 marks at the university level, U-level courses. They do not care what those marks are. If you're applying to U of T for social science and humanities, the only requirement is an English credit. For other programs, it might be slightly different. For example, for psychology, it's an English credit and a calculus credit. But even if with those two requirements, the other 4 are just 4 U-level courses. So I could have taken English literature or Canadian history or American history, things that I was passionate about but didn't feel I had time for. And it would have made my university applications process much easier because I would have been very smooth sailing with my GPA. And I was fortunate that it worked out. I had the time to dedicate to those courses. But in terms of planning, keep your options open for sure. If you aren't sure what you want to study in university, make sure you're taking a broad range of prerequisites. But if you kind of know, maybe not what you want to do in social sciences, humanities, or maybe not what kind of engineering you want to do, pick courses that play up to your strengths. You have that ability at the grade 11 and 12 level in the Ontario school system. And when you're applying to university, they only care grade-wise about your top 6 grade 12 marks.
It's true.
That's it.
It's true.
Well, on the other hand, you took like all the math and science courses. I dropped them as soon as I could. When I was in grade 11, just math and science was not my forte, and I tried so hard. And no matter what I did, I could not do it. So I ended up stopping that as soon as I could. But again, taking those courses, they're not a bad thing. Like, I can get that university does take your top marks, but also they open your options to other programs. Like, for example, like, because I don't have like a science credit, I can't pursue my potential career in, you know, like med school or like stuff like that. So you know what, like, it's always good to have options, and you know, if you're in those courses and you like them, then just go for it.
Absolutely. I think the key here is leaving doors open without making life too difficult for yourself, in the sense that if you're able to rule something out definitively, like, I don't want to do any of these fields related to math, there's no point overstressing yourself with a math course. If you're not sure, like I wasn't sure, then do what I did and take the courses and do your best. And I promise, speaking from experience here, it's going to work out.
A cool thing that we should think about is maybe preparation. So how to prepare for university life as a high school student. And I think one thing that high school students should do, particularly if you're trying to get into a university, is maybe go down to the university maybe one day with your friends, let's say Friday, and just attend a class. Right? Because remember, the university is a public institution. It's open to the public. And you can go and sit down in a – well, you have to know the schedule first, of course. But you have to sit down in a biology or chemistry or political science class and just see what it's like. Just take in the atmosphere, get an idea of what the lecture outline from a professor is like. And maybe even, ask a couple questions or so to the professor or TA or whoever it is that's in the room at the time.
You know, had someone told me that earlier when I was in high school, I thought I probably would have went into university a little less anxious than I did.
See what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah. I walked into, like, my first day of class, and I was like, oh my god, there's 500 other people here with me. This is so different from, being in a classroom with 29 other students. Like, it's crazy. The change is different, but it was super exciting. Like, I loved, the first few days of university.
Yeah, and especially because, like, these courses are so large, I particularly found that intimidating. And what those large course sizes mean is that you really have to take your own initiative when it comes to learning. Like, because the classes, in first year particularly, some of them are 1,000+, which does sound super, super overwhelming. But, like, the professor won't be able to notice, I guess, if you're struggling. And so it really, like, to prepare better for university, I would have maybe put more pressure on myself over the summer just to, like, be more aware of when to speak to professors and even to, like, just to break that initial barrier, because a lot of people seem to think that your professor is some sort of cold, unfeeling entity. And really, a lot of them are, like, they don't become professors because they become professors because they want to teach and they want to help you, right?
So, as the professional mixed martial artist Nick Diaz once said, don't be scared, homie. Don't be scared of your professors. Don't be scared of your teaching assistants. They're people just like you, and they, believe me, they're social people that like to interact. If anything, they would love to interact with you, because otherwise they're kind of sitting in their office trying to figure out what to do with their day.
In terms of preparation, like coming to university, I did the exact opposite of what Vincent suggested. I grew up in Brampton. I went to high school in Oakville, so I could have visited U of T's campus very, very easily. It's just a short train or bus ride away, and I didn't. I had never set foot on campus until like a week before orientation, when I was like, yikes, I should figure out how to get here. And that being said, regardless of whether you have the opportunity to check out campus, regardless of whether you're able to get a physical feel on the place you're going to be spending quite some time at, I think the biggest preparation you can do is getting better at asking for help, because you are in these large class sizes, and also because people at the university want to help you. Professors are there, they want to help you, but so are your registrar's office, which is this kind of vague institution we keep referencing.
The real MVP.
Yeah, the registrar's office is the real MVP. You have one at every college. The Faculty of Arts and Science, or whichever faculty you're a part of, also has a larger one. And essentially, these are like your guidance counselors, your academic advisors, your parents, all rolled up into one. And they help with finances. They help with figuring out opportunities and resources across the university. They have writing centers. And I think the best part about first year was learning that the students who succeed the most are the ones who ask for the most help.
Absolutely.
Because I think the high school mentality can very much be, I do this all on my own, and therefore I'm impressive. And what's impressive is being able to reach out to the people around you, get assistance, and actually genuinely reach your fullest potential.
Yeah.
I wanted to touch back on to the registrar's office that you mentioned, because it really is an underused resource, particularly because a lot of people seem to think that, like, you need to be, like, that's only for academic help, or it's only for if you're not really sure which course to take, etc. But they're really designed to be a one-stop shop where like you go, and especially because the University of Toronto has so many resources that it becomes overwhelming. Like you can't figure out exactly which department you should take your problem to, right? So the registrar's office is really designed for you to drop in and be like, hey, this is my issue, and they will be able to point you towards exactly where you can find help for that.
Yeah. And just to touch on that as well again, and in general, a good practice to really put into practice in a university is to get as many people as possible to know your name. That is to say, you know, befriend as many people as possible, particularly in the registrar. A good piece of advice given to me in first year by my student mentor, Sam, was be friends with your registrar, be friends with your professors, in the sense that, you know, you're collegial and they know your name, and you can go and approach them at any time and it won't be a very, you know, kind of an awkward experience.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned a mentor.
Yeah.
There are a lot of mentorship programs even on campus, because I know that personally I was the first in my family to attend university.
Hey, me too.
Hey, nice. Yeah.
Same.
So there are, like, I've always felt that there was like a bit of a disadvantage for me because there were a lot of things I didn't know. Like, I didn't know how important office hours were, so I never bothered with them because I was doing okay in courses. Or, like, you know, just that you could go to the registrar and ask for help and that it wasn't a big deal. So particularly to look into the mentorship programs that U of T offers is really like a good tip that I would give to someone who's considering coming here, or like even to any university. Just look into the mentorship programs that they have.
And the thing about the mentorship programs is Yin mentioned First in the Family, which is fantastic as a resource for students who are the first member of their family to attend university. But there are also program-specific mentors. Like there are, for example, mentors in the Department of Criminology, and they're specifically there to help you navigate that program. There are like extracurricular specific mentors, like, oh, you're involved in this sports team or this recreational activity. Here's how we can help you balance that with school. Like, mentors are fantastic, and whether they're an official mentor or just an older student you happen to befriend, they're gonna help you a lot.
And the best thing about these mentorship programs is that your mentors are not some staff member being called in. They're students who are, they're volunteering their time. Yeah. So they've been through exactly what you're going
through. Typically a third or fourth year, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you can like, they've only like, it was only 2 or 3 years ago that they were in your exact same position. Mm. So there's less of that distance there.
In a way, we're kind of like mentors if you really think about it, doing this radio show.
I would hope so.
Yeah, I kind of think so. Hey, you know, one thing I was kind of confused about in first year was that I thought that I was a political science student, but I really wasn't.
Didn't we all?
Someone want to touch on that, the whole POST system?
Yeah, we'll break that down for you. Who wants to tackle it?
I mean, I'm going to start off by saying that POST stands for a program of study, simply because I know that when I speak to people who don't come from U of T, I'm like, oh, this is my POST. They're like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it's really important at the beginning of first year to sort of look specifically into the posts that U of T offers, because there are so many, and just sort of look at them and just see which you need to apply to at the end of first year and which you don't need to apply to, and whether there are any requirements that you need to fulfill for those who, for those that do require an application. I know that for both of my majors, they had specific courses that they required you to take in first year.
So just to be clear, yes. It's not when you apply in first year, you're not in a political science program. You have to apply in second year. You're just a social science student or whatever.
Yeah, when I applied to U of T, you get accepted as just a very general, like, I guess a very general student. Like, I was a social science student. But it wasn't until, like, the end of first year that I realized that I'm not actually in the program that I wanted to be in. I was just this social science student.
Right.
So then it wasn't until I realized that you, like, they have specific dates, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's, like, I think it's, like, April or May or stuff like that. But it's closer to the end of the year where they tell you, you know, this, like, you have to apply for your program.
So kind of like being a Jedi, right? So, you know, when you're a Padawan, but then you say you're a Jedi Knight, but you're really not. You're just a trainee.
I think you're alone on this, man.
Yeah,
okay, fair enough. I think Jade might save this point. Go ahead, Jade.
Oh, I can't even tell you if that's Star Wars or Star Trek or that is. So I'm gonna
maybe
let
not.
That part of it go to the side. But basically, the idea with programs of study, if you're used to just talking about university more generally and not U of T specific, that's the idea of your majors, your minors, or at U of T, we also offer specialists. So if there's something you really know, you really want to do, for example, there's a criminology specialist, you can concentrate more of your time and effort towards it. The way U of T does it is, and correct me if I'm wrong here, folks, but either a major and two minors or a double major, or a specialist and a minor?
No, just a specialist.
Just a specialist.
You can also add on.
Yeah. So you'll notice that Yin and I both are doing two majors and a minor. What I found is like the requirements for my programs overlapped enough that I had enough extra courses I wanted to engage with equity studies, or in Yin's case, philosophy. But the idea with U of T is you're applying to be a social science or humanities student. You do select what program of study you intend to. So, for example, I intended to be political science and international relations, as I mentioned earlier. And then at the end of the year, you apply to your program. So I applied to the Ethics, Society, and Law major. I applied to the Criminology major. And I applied to the Equity Studies minor. And there are different types of programs of study. So Criminology was a type 2, I think.
It was
a 2L, which means there's a bit of an extra application. You have to, usually in 2L cases, you have to write up a quick bio or reason why you'd like to attend or answer a specific question. That can seem like a lot. I promise that it isn't. And then the L beside 2L means limited. It's limited enrollment. And because both of my programs were actually limited enrollment, meaning only a certain number of students will be accepted to those programs, I was enrolled in backup programs. And those were, you just had to have completed like 5 credits, which is the typical first year, and then you are automatically accepted. So while over the course of the summer I was waiting to hear back about whether I'd been accepted into my programs of study, I was technically a history and political science major, I think. Just because if it hadn't worked out, as you know, life happens, then I would probably be this spring at the end of my third year having taken history and political science courses, reapplying to criminology.
Also, it's important to know that you're not bound to them. Like, once you apply and you're accepted, you can change your subject post. Like, I have plenty of times. Like, I was in Ethics, Society, and Law, and I realized that it wasn't for me, so I went into philosophy. So, like, that's a thing. Like, you're not, just remember to, again, always keep an open mind.
Yeah, for sure. And it's also, like, very rarely too late for you to change your post. I think even up until your final graduate, like, even until right before you graduate, you can still last minute pick up a minor, pick up a major, declare something. So it's really flexible in that regard.
And that's why your grade in first year is more important than your grades in high school, because you choose your programs according to your first year grades. And according to your high school grade, you just enter a general program like social science or life science.
Cool. So I think we've kind of covered the waterfront in terms of, you know, prepping for university as a high school student. I think we're going to take a quick break now, maybe about 5 minutes. We're going to be back to talk about life as a university student in university. And we're going to leave with Ray Barreto's New York Soul. And we're back. I hope you liked those songs. That was Chief Rocka by Lords of the Underground. I don't think my people here in the studio enjoyed it too much. They were busy on their phones. But anyway, we're back now, and we're going to be talking about university life as a student. So I guess we should maybe talk about fears that didn't hold up in reality. So translating things that we thought university was going to be like from high school onto university. So who wants to kick it off first?
Yeah, sure. So as I mentioned earlier, I was terrified that I would be there and just not make friends, because there's this conception that you go to class.
And I haven't made any friends, by the way.
Oh, I mean, that's your problem.
You have made friends with all of us this week, so that's a lie.
You can speak for yourself, man. I don't know him that well.
All right, I see. Well, this is not going the way I thought it was going to go, but okay.
But Yin, you were saying making friends?
Oh, yeah. So I don't know. I think living on residence was definitely helpful in that regard, simply because you're around the same people all of the time. Even in class and programs, the different subjects have student unions and they hold events too. So if you're wanting to connect with a friend you made in class outside of a classroom setting, that would go into those events, and those socials really help as well.
Can I give one piece of advice? Or I'm actually just going to give it. So I'm going to give you one piece of advice. To connect and to make friends and to make university more fun, if you don't have a Facebook account, get one.
I don't have a Facebook account.
And if you And if you do have a Facebook account, scroll through your feed, see what events are happening. And if you can't find any, you don't see any events are popped up, like your student society's page, like your program's page, like the Faculty of Arts and Science, like student blog at U of T and life at U of T and all of these pages, because I swear to goodness, There are at least 5 events happening every day. It is so hard to keep up. Most of the events have free food. All of them have wonderful people. It's the best way to make a friend, to make many friends. Just show up. And it's not hard. And it's almost always free.
Right. In terms of friends, we said that the University of Toronto, and I guess a lot of universities like this today, are massive. There's tons of students on campus. Is there kind of a stigma about being just a number? Kaving, did you want to add something?
Well, as to being just a number, I feel like you have to really get out there to avoid just being a number. For me, I wasn't really involved with anything until like third or fourth year, just because I live far away. Like, I do live in Mississauga, so I do commute. So, you know, like, going to, like, the balls and, like, the galas and stuff like that wasn't always an option to me, because I didn't want to, you know, commute 2 hours in a dress. You know what I mean? So it wasn't the best thing, but after a while, like, when you get your name out there and you make some friends, and believe me, the person sitting next to you is willing to be your friend. Like, that's one thing. So, you know, after a while, you're not just a number, you're someone to someone else.
Yeah, and I would say if you are a commuter student, which honestly, we are a commuter school, residence is a wonderful experience. I was fortunate to be able to do it in first year, but most of our students commute. Get involved with your college, your program, your faculties, Student Commuter Society. For example, I'm at Victoria College. We have VOCA, Victoria's Off-Campus Association. In addition to hosting lots of free food events, they have free commuter storage, so you can get a locker. They help out with things like transportation for events. They plan events in the daytime. There are The best way to get involved and make friends is to get engaged with your student societies and organizations on campus, because they're doing work and putting out programming for you.
Jane, you're an international student, right?
Yeah.
Did you find it difficult as an international student to make friends at university?
Yeah, at first I found it really hard to get to know people around me because I'm afraid to talk to people first. But slowly I find that people who share a class with you, they can go to class with you and they can discuss notes and class things with you. And if you take the first initiative to talk, it's not that hard to make friends. And also, I know the school fees are more expensive than the local student, but it really covers a lot of things. Like, you can get free healthcare as all the locals do, and free, you can go to dentists for free, and even you can get a free massage, I believe, if
yes,
you get a doctor note.
Yes, I know a lot
so
about that.
I think it's really
good. Please cash in on that.
I'll talk to you later.
Yeah. Hey, you know something that's always crazy about being in universities, particularly the University of Toronto? There's always this rumor going around that it's impossible to succeed, that the classes are too hard.
I would say that that's largely just a rumor. Like, the biggest indicator that it's not impossible to succeed is that we have thousands of students succeeding here every day. If they can do it, so can you. And also, I mean, a lot of that hype is students at U of T. We like to play it up so that, you know, we can give ourselves a big pat on the back. Oh, look, we survived U of T. Or people who haven't been at the institution playing up on rumors that they've heard. But it's not impossible to succeed. There are classes that will be tough. There are classes that you'll breeze right through. There are different elements of university life that are going to challenge you, but it is the opposite of impossible. It is so doable. It is so possible, and it's so worth it.
Yeah, the school provides so much support and help. Like, for example, each college has its own writing centers on your assignments. Like, you can always get help. And if you go to office hours of your professors or TAs, they're willing to help. Like, you can get anything you want, any help you want on campus.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think a class is only as hard as you make it. And that kind of sounds like corny advice, because some classes are just incredibly hard. But at the same time, you kind of have to figure out, for each class is kind of different, but it's important to figure out a way in which you can do the work most efficiently. And the best way of doing that is maybe to go to your professor and simply asking them, you know, what are the things that I need to do to be successful in this class? And, you know, sometimes they may not have an answer, but generally I think that a lot of professors, they know their class best, and they'll be able to give you advice on how to succeed.
For sure. And to jump on that, we also have an academic success center at U of T, and a lot of people seem to think, like, there's this misconception that you only go there when you're struggling once again, but they can really set you up with a variety of approaches to studying, because I know a lot of people just think that there's not really any way to study, like, more effectively. Like, a lot of people I know hold themselves up in a library for, say, like, the whole day, and they don't really get much done. And that's because they're not studying in a way that's effective. And so with these academic success coordinators or advisors, they study these different various, like, ways to improve your memory and to study as efficiently as possible, and they can teach you all of those ways.
Are you guys in any study groups?
I was just about to say, in terms of, like, making friends, as Jane was saying, in class, but also in terms of being successful, get a study group started. There's going to be a Facebook page for every course you're in. And if there's not, you be the person who uses the class listserv, the email that has everyone's emails in the class, send out a class email with a link to a Facebook group, say, hey, y'all, I made us a Facebook group. And from that, you're going to find a group of at least 4 or 5 students willing to meet up with you weekly to go over notes and, you know, sit together and lecture, ask questions. And you're also going to find that Google Docs is your best friend.
Oh, absolutely.
You're going to collaboratively study for exams. You're going to prep together for essays. And it really is, like, university is what you make of it, as that cheesy cliche, but it's also, like, you succeed the most when you're helping the people around you succeed. You want to be friends with your peers, and you want to be helping each other do well.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's, again, this misconception that U of T students are extremely cutthroat and, like, really competitive. That's not the case.
The opposite.
I am.
Okay, well.
Well, no, that was a joke.
You're in another room.
Well, this is true.
You away from us.
No, that's a great point, actually, because when I was applying to the University of Toronto, I heard a lot of rumors about people, like you said, being cutthroat. Mm-hmm. Just to give an example, one dude told me, and he I don't know why I listened to it, but he said that he didn't go to the university, but I should say, but he said that there are students at the University of Toronto that will bore your notes, then throw them in the garbage just to spite you, just to make sure that you fail.
I heard something similar when I was in, like, the younger years of high school about people moving books around at the library. And my first thought was, like, who uses physical books?
That was
point one. I mean, but libraries at U of T, side note, wonderful. We have 44 libraries on the St. George campus alone. We have the third best library system in North America behind, like,
That's
Harvard
amazing.
And another Ivy League.
Right.
We're
Yale
awesome.
Or one
yeah.
of the two.
And yeah. our libraries are open to the public. So even as a non-U of T student, like, come use our libraries.
Right.
But
be fair, though, I have misplaced books and put them in different spots. So that's not necessarily incorrect. I didn't do it personally. It's just because I'm an idiot.
Okay.
And I don't know numbers.
I'm sure the librarians were all over that. I just mean,
I am a librarian, though, by the way. That's kind of, yeah.
Do not hire this man.
Concerned.
Just
well,
a PSA.
I am alarmed.
But essentially, what we're trying to say is it's not cutthroat. Everyone's in the same boat as you. You're an undergraduate student.
We're all just trying to make it through the course.
Yeah, we're all just here to do our best. And, you know, if in a room of 100 students there's one person who's being cutthroat, okay, fine. They can go do that on their own. But it's not going to affect your university experience.
I think that, too. Like, I've heard rumors like that. But you know what? Like, I've seen 30 students in a class of, like, 100 or so working on the same document, mm-hmm. you know, sharing their notes of, like, from class and stuff like that. And I, for one, am always willing to give my notes because I know that people are willing to help me too. And I have gotten that help, and it's amazing. Like, people are not as scary in university as, I guess, you know, people say it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe we should switch gears now. I think we kind of covered what we need to cover in terms of academics. Why don't we talk about life on residence, being a student that lives on the university campus. And Yin and Jade and Jane are resies.
So actually don't live in res at the moment, although
either.
I'm lucky I still live downtown, but I did do it in my first year. So I will speak to that. But Jane, are you living in res currently?
No. No. Actually, I've never lived in res before.
Okay.
So I was 0-3. Okay, cool.
It's okay. It was a good guess. Yeah, and you lived in res the longest, right? 2 years?
Yeah, I lived on residence for 2 years, my first year and my second year. In first year, I was just, you know, there, I guess. But then at the end of my first year, I ran for to be the house president, so to be on the residence council. And so I can speak from that.
Did you win?
Yes, I won.
Oh, congrats.
Thank you. I'm not on residence anymore, but it was a good year. So for residents, I found super helpful, especially not being from here. It just gave, just like having programs and events available to people who were on residence. So Victoria College especially has things like festive dinner for, like, Christmas time, I guess. different events and stuff, and pub nights, just to get people on residence talking to each other.
And what is the hardest part about living on campus? Jade?
I'm going to say it depends on your roommate situation, in the sense that a lot of people will live suite style, and they'll have a common kitchen living area and maybe share a bathroom with a person living across the hall from them, but they have their own almost little apartment. The way that I had it was traditional dorm style. And this is why we say picking a college is important.
Were you Margaret?
I was in Margaret Addison Hall. It's important when you're picking a college to come to U of T to check out what style residence they have, what's going to work for you, et cetera, et cetera. Essentially, I live 10 feet away from my roommate. We shared a bathroom with the 20 people living on our side of the hall, and there were 20 people on the other side of the hall, some single rooms, some doubles like me and my roommate. And I was lucky. Like, my roommate, Alice Hansen, shout out to you, was wonderful, but it was still really, really hard to be living that close to someone that you, even if you're the best of friends, that you've just met a year ago. I don't know. I think that, like, for me, not having as much personal space as I would like, and I used to share a room with my sister, so it's not the sharing thing. It's just having a place to call your own was tough. And I think that I could have combated that by getting more involved and, like, carving out spaces on campus that are a bit more my own. Yeah. So I think, you know, depending on your living situation, the roommate dynamic can be the toughest part. But also, all of the pros outweigh that by far. Like, if you have the opportunity to live on residence, I would say take it.
A lot of people do end up living on residence for the first year and then moving back home and commuting for the rest. But it does really give you a good foundation if possible.
That's a good point. And maybe K-Wing can touch on that. Being a commuter, living at home, having to travel, what is it, an hour and a half to get to school? What is that like?
Well, I was actually really interested in, like, living on res, but to me, like, it wasn't ever an option, you know, financially. I didn't really look into, like, I guess, like, financial bursaries and, like, stuff like that. So I never really wanted to live on res as much as everyone else did. So my commute is about 2 hours. I live the West End. And, you know, it's tough, but you make it. And you make the best of what you can do. So it's not too bad. And I do recommend it if it's not, you know, if living on res isn't an option. But again, it's not the worst thing. So, you know, don't be afraid of the commute.
For anyone listening that has to commute, you know, an hour, maybe two to get to university, good advice. Listen to podcasts or do readings, actually. That may be more productive. But find maybe even sleep. I don't know. But I always find that podcasts are pretty helpful to pass the time and make a long trip not so long.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty cool, too. Yeah. Like, I ended up doing, like, a lot of readings on the subway ride here.
Nerd.
So, you know, there you go. There's a free 30 minutes that you can use it for.
Yeah, and did you notice any difference living in residence as an upper year student?
For sure. I think first year, everyone's really excited to meet friends and stuff. But in second year, you're sort of like, I already have an established group of friends. You're sort of maybe, I just felt that residence maybe, like, started to lose some of its
appeal.
I don't want to say utility, but, like, yeah, like, just because residence is such a nice place to meet people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it also became, like, I wanted my own space. I lived in a different residence building. So, like, even within colleges, residence styles vary. Mm-hmm. Mine was sort of predominantly single rooms. And then you still had to share a washroom with the floor. And then there was a communal kitchen area again. But just, it started to get draining, being like, you have to put on a full set of clothes, go to the washroom, and then, like, just having to have your room key on you at all times, not being able to cook for yourself, having to eat at the same place every day. I sort of, like, that's why I ended up deciding to move off res.
Mm-hmm.
But for sure, like, just the proximity to campus means that if you see an event coming on, like, in 5 minutes, you can make it there on time.
Yeah.
Like, just being able to hang around campus and attend those events, like, that, I think.
It must be nice getting, you know, like, going to class across the street, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So nice.
It makes a 10 a.m. class much easier to get to, but.
Cool. So we have about 8 minutes left, and I think we're going to end off on our final topic, which is social life. So we've gotten to the point where we're now in university. We've done our applications, and we've gotten to the point where now we're kind of sort of successful academically. We know our resident situation. We know our commuting situation. What is there to do at the University of Toronto? What's social life like?
You can do anything and everything. We have it all. I don't know what y'all are involved in and if we kind of want to speak to our own experience here, but the great thing about going to a school as large as U of T is no matter what you are interested in, you are not the only one. You are definitely not even the one of five. Like, there's going to be a group of students out there with something for
there
you.
There are so many weirdly specific groups. I saw a group the other day that was for Korean life science students involved in volunteering. So, like,
wow.
It was that specific.
That's three intersections.
Right?
Right? Very cool.
And I bet you it wasn't a group of, like, five students. No.
It was huge. There were, like, 20 people there.
Absolutely.
Jade. You can even start a new club by yourself. Like, you can just find your friends and start a new club.
Absolutely. I work with a student council at Victoria College, and we are accepting new club proposals all the time. For example, a really cute club this year called Bay Gals. So BAE and Gals is like a bagel appreciation club. And I think they have other things to their what they're going to talk about as they eat these bagels, et cetera, et cetera. But what I mean is Jane's exactly right. If there is a niche that is not covered at U of T, you're going to be the person to cover it.
This is not U of T, but I have a friend in another university that started a tree climbing club. So they get funding from the university to buy pizzas and sit around a tree.
Wow.
And, like, it's a good life.
And climb it?
Well, I mean, like...
I love it.
I think it's more into, like, an appreciation
tree
club.
Tree appreciation club.
So
I think
they
come for the
pizza. So do they actually climb trees or do they just sit around trees
it
eating pizza?
It turned into, like, a sit under trees and eat pizza.
I figured.
Because I figured it was dangerous or something.
I don't know. But, can imagine.
Well, I know when I first started university, I believe in the beginning of the year, they actually have, what is it, Clubs Fair?
Clubs Fair.
It is Clubs Fair, yeah. So all the clubs, well, I guess I'm not sure what kind of clubs come out, but they do give you like a brief.
Absolutely.
Know, yeah, you can speak
so
to it.
I was an orientation leader with the University of Toronto Students Union. And this is one of those things about the college system that can make things a bit complicated. You have the broader UTSU, University of Toronto Students Union, and then your individual colleges have their student councils. So you have, as we were saying, your college-specific orientation and then a broader orientation. A part of that broader orientation is Clubs Fair, and a week later there's also Clubs Day, and hundreds of clubs set up. They have little booths, poster style, and you can get involved in any and everything.
Is there a social experience? I'm just wondering, but is there a social experience that you can have outside of the university, maybe outside of the country?
Yes. Absolutely.
U of T has a really great summer abroad program where you can take courses abroad in various universities that U of T is partnered with. So I think the options range from like Hong Kong, China, Japan to like Oxford and England.
Yeah, even obscure places like
Italy, South Africa.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are obscure. I'm South African, so but.
Yeah, so it's really good because these courses are taught with U of T professors, so there won't be an issue with your credits not going through, which I know is a common, like, does happen occasionally with semester abroad programs.
Mm-hmm. And U of T does also have semester or full year abroad, so we have partner institutions. My lovely roommate, who I was just mentioning, is going to be in France next year, and these are all opportunities that you can pursue and that the university can help finance for you.
Yeah, for sure. There are bursaries that you can apply to.
Any other things that we want to wrap up with? I think we're about done here today.
I think that's good.
I think
I've learned a lot, actually, about myself.
Absolutely. Here. I think that the most important thing is university, I don't know about y'all, but is the best thing that's happened to me. Coming to U of T.
Just the personal growth alone.
Best decision I ever made.
Yeah. Ooh, so, wow, that was an hour long. We just talked about being university students. Very cool.
Well, I mean, it's hard to, condense 4 years of experience into an hour, right?
Yeah. I wish Richard was here. For those listening, we had another student. He was a first-year student, Richard, that's with us. Unfortunately, he couldn't be here today. But, of course, shout-out to Richard and, of course, Alice as well, who could not make it today. I think they would have had similar answers to what we had. But, yeah. So thank you to everyone listening. This has been Catch the Flavor at Regent Radio. And we would just like to thank Regent Park Radio, Adonis, Huggins, Tyrone, and Kazim for making this week a great experience. And I hope you guys enjoyed the show. And thank you very much. Signing off.